Fugitive. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, yeah, he goes out and solves the murder by himself. Yeah, right. So, the managers will say, well, I can fix this. So then they go out and they go, you were at the party that night. You didn't see me in the hot tub. I wasn't anywhere near that hot tub. You know I love my wife, Nancy. I would never do blah, blah, blah. Okay, great, wonderful. Now, when all those witnesses get called to the stand, other side's going to say, let me ask you, did you talk to HR first or this neutral investigator first, or did you talk to the accused? Well, the accused. Oh, thank you. End of questions. Every good witness in your favor has now been tainted because you couldn't handle it that HR was going to conduct the investigation. So you decided you were going to be Harrison Ford and go out and prove that you were innocent and just shot yourself in the foot. So do me a favor and leave it alone and let me do my job. And if you don't explain it to them just that clearly, they're going to be stupid and they're going to go do it. Don't go apologize. Don't try and talk to the complainant about it. Now, you can't say don't talk to the complainant if they work for them, but don't talk to the complainant about it. Don't recruit witnesses. Don't talk to any witnesses about it. Avoid any questionable conduct, obviously. Get approval before you take any adverse action. So if you are getting ready to do any kind of disciplinary action or give them a bad review or deny them a promotion or whatever, anything like that, you got to get it clear from HR before you do it. Don't retaliate, don't gossip, don't badmouth, don't reflect anger. And remember that there's no privilege among peers, among colleagues, among friends. The only privilege is between you and your spouse. Anybody else you talk to can and will be a witness against you. So, to the extent that you're ticked off and you decide to go to a bar and let off some steam with a colleague that you trust, you've just made that trusted colleague the other side's number one witness, and they will have to testify against you in a retaliation lawsuit about all the ugly things you said about how you feel about the complaint. Now, you don't actually say you. You say, hypothetically, somebody who was accused might do this, and that would be a problem because, right? You're educating them about why it's not a good idea to go to the bar and, let off some steam with somebody. Okay. Explain that retaliatory actions violate the law and company policy. Suggest that they avoid statements like, I feel betrayed. I can't work with the complainant now. I'm not going to meet alone with him or her anymore. That those types of statements, while perhaps said in the spur of the moment, aren't really something that you'd carry through. They sound bad and they certainly smell like retaliation, which is a violation of our policy and illegal if you act on them. So, not cool. Back again to being a good corporate citizen. Okay, if it's a union employee, they have to be notified of their right to have a union rep during any interview that may result in disciplinary action. The employee has to request the union rep. You don't have to offer it. Public employees, like federal employees, fire and police, they all have just very complicated special rules about when and what you have to say to them before they get interviewed. And I'm not going to go into it. I actually had a wonderful lawyer with the city send me this incredible paper that I read and my eyes crossed. I'm like, this is why I don't represent governments. I was just like, ugh. But if you do represent or work with government entities, I would just say that that's a complicated area and you need to make sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's before you do that. So then after you've gotten through with the interview with the accused, which I never actually had the questions for the accused, that was just your enlightenment speech. So when the interviewer, the investigator talks to the accused, the first interview is with the complainant because they have the complaint. So you got to find out what they're complaining about. So who, what, where, when, why, how? Were there any witnesses? Did you confide in anyone at the time? Who did you confide in? What did you tell them? Were there any threats or promises carried out? That's an important question. Okay? If this is somebody who is in a position of authority, were there any threats, job-related threats or promises, job-related promises that were made, were any of those carried out? This goes to quid pro quo. Okay? It's important to ask this question because I have found that the answer to this question often is different once the lawsuit gets filed. So if when you ask it and they say no, here? And I would ask it a number of different ways. So, you know, you weren't told that you'd get fired if this you didn't go along with this, or you weren't told that you'd get a promotion if you did, or you'd get a bonus, nothing like that, nothing, you know, promised if you kept your mouth shut and went along with this advance. No, okay, that, you know, just write all that down, because if it changes, you can say, well, that's not what they said when I asked them when this all started. So that's very helpful. Just like it's not good for us if our story changes about why we fired somebody, it's not good for them if their story changes about whether or not they were threatened. Closing, I'll be speaking to the accused. They get panicky. I want you to immediately report anything new that happens. I thank them, tell them you'll get back to them as soon as you can, and close the door and prepare your notes. You have to prepare your notes in between. Allow yourself the time to do that, because if you don't prepare them right then, you're not going to remember. It's best if you can take contemporaneous notes while you're in there. If you look in the back of this paper, there's sample memos from investigations. It kind of has an introduction for each witness, and then it has where you put their statements, an example of how you write those out, because you're speaking in their voice. Don't use your own words. If you do that, and they're on the stand, and they're asked if they said that, they're going to say, I don't even know what that means. Then it looks like the investigator's putting words in the mouth of the witnesses. So use their terms, not your, you know, $3 words. And if they use a term incorrectly, and I've had that happen, where they use a term and it means the opposite of what they think it means,